Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to Behind the Veil, a show that provides insight into the world of people and events. I'm your host, Keith Willard. Welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to be talking to one of my favorite photographers. Her name is Susan Delware, and she is phenomenal. Now, I was bringing her on the show because she is so incredibly good at what she does with my couples, only to find out when I did a deeper dive that this amazing person was actually, by the time she was 16, had already was on the set and shooting on the set of Courtney and Chloe. I mean, it's incredible to hear her story, and she's so down to earth, and she's right here in South Miami with all of us. So let me introduce her. Suzanne, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me, Keith.
Oh my God. You know how much I love you anyway, right? Because we just really click when we were, doing weddings in the past. But I didn't know how extensive your resume really was. I mean, I kind of heard in the background that you had done some celebrity weddings, but it was one of those things that we're in the moment and we're just going. And then when I said, hey, why don't you come on the show? You were like, hey, let's do it. And I went, oh my God.
And here we are.
But the fact that Kevin Hart is like, doesn't like to have anybody else photography take his photo except you. I mean, that's a little crazy, because I saw like in his writing like how hardcore he is a fan of yours.
Yes. I mean, it's been a blessing. I mean, I started doing photography when I was 13, and with the help of my dad, I mean, he gave me a lot of the tools and knowledge to get me going. And then, it's like, when you're passionate about something, when you love what you do, it doesn't feel like work. You're just enjoying it and having a great time. And before you knew it, I mean, we always had a mindset. I mean, if you're going to do anything, you want to do it big, right?
Right.
Your goal is never to be, I want to be the smallest photographer. It's like, I want to be the biggest. I want to be the most known.
I just want to barely get by. That's my goal. Just to barely get by.
Our mindset was really like, we wanted to be the best. We wanted to work with the best. And that's what we sought out. It was in our mind, and we just pushed for it. And then, how it goes. You put the hours in, you meet the right people. You get opportunities, you deliver, and you make it.
But it's incredible because, I love your dad, Winston. Yes. And by the way, anybody that books you or has any dealings with you knows your dad really well, because he is hardcore. Like, he is your cheerleader, man. Yeah. He is your cheerleader.
He's my best friend.
And he's the nicest guy. Yeah. I mean, nicest guy. So it's a little surprising when, if somebody went to your website, read through the resume, and went, God, there's no way that she would be able to do our wedding. And that's not true. I mean,
not true.
You
just got to pick up the phone and call.
Right? It's crazy. I mean, I am so constantly surprised about how many times that you're actually available for one of my weddings. It's incredible. Yeah.
And we get about 1,000 hits a month. Or is it a month or a week? I mean, either way, even if it was a month or a week, we get about 1,000 hits a month, and I think a lot of people also just don't call because they see a lot of our work, they see what we've done, and they probably think,
she's out of reach. She's out of reach.
Absolutely.
Well, so I was talking to David Tatera on one of these shows. Hold on, let me pick up the name.
Yeah.
Since I just name dropped that. Anyway, and he said the same thing. He said that once he went big, people stopped calling him because they thought he was out of reach.
Yep.
Did you have that same issue? Like, at some point, did you become, when you were in People Magazine and you're in all these major, subscription magazines, et cetera, did people start thinking, oh no, she's too big for us?
I would say so. I mean, yeah, it definitely happens. And I think that's where social media and stuff comes into play. You can really show off your personality, give people a chance to get to know you. So I have seen more of a shift. I think that was a big thing back in 2016 when we did Kevin Hart's wedding as a start. And then we were doing a lot of his family photo shoots into almost 2020. And, people probably had that perception. But then I have noticed more of a change recently, because I have been posting more, behind the scenes videos showing people how I pose and how kind of down to earth I am, I guess I would say, because I try not, I don't like stress on a wedding day. It's supposed to be fun and relaxed and happy.
Yeah.
Not be complicated. Like, especially for us, we do this every weekend.
Every weekend. Yeah.
So it's like about just kind of giving that energy too.
So my question, you know, let's start when you first started, right? So your dad gives you a camera because he notices that you have a gift, which is, and let me just say that most parents look at their child and go, she's the best. She's smarter, prettier, better than everybody else. But in this case, it was absolutely true. Like, he knew when he looked at you, he's there's something there. You're passionate. And so he hands you a camera and you go, done. Rest of my life is done.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. And I honestly, like, when I first started shooting, I mean, I didn't know that it was like, that was going to be my whole life. I thought it was more of like just something that I did on the weekends, you know, right. And I enjoyed just being with my dad. Like, I just loved, like, he's my best friend from when I was like a kid. So I just loved hanging out with him. And like, to me, it's like, if I could spend the weekend going to an event and helping him pose or, you know, second shoot or, you know, be the main photographer, like, I just enjoyed it. So, I mean, you know, it's, what can I say? I mean,
what was the reaction though? So here you are, let's say 15. If I saw a 15-year-old with a camera coming on set, I'd be like, are you supposed to be here? And you're like, no, I'm the photographer.
I got a good story for you.
Yeah.
Actually, one thing that happened at 14, I shot my first wedding by myself.
And okay, my dad, first of all, a 14-year-old. Okay, yes. 14-year-old.
Yes. My dad spoke to the bride in advance and was like, hey, just so you know, all the pictures on the website that you see, that's my daughter.
Wow.
And I just want to let you know that she is 14. And the bride was like, it's okay. I trust her. Like, send her. Like, all good. And I remember it was at, I forgot the name of the church, but it's on like, it's in Davie. It's off of like University Drive, like by like the post office. And in any event, I get to the wedding and the bride is waiting outside the church. And she's like, hey, Suzanne, you know, my mom dropped me off. I kiss my mom goodbye, go inside the church, and I start getting, no, it gets better. I start posing them for like the family pictures. And all of a sudden I hear somebody call my name. Like, I hear Susie, and everybody calls me Suzanne, like professionally. So if somebody calls me Susie, it's because it's like a friend or someone that I know.
Right.
And I hear the name Susie, like, is that you? And I turn around and the bride's son was my classmate.
No.
And he was like, what are you doing here? I'm like, I'm your photographer. And he's like, oh, okay.
That's the craziest thing. I mean, think about that. You're not even in high school at that point, are you? No, you're like, ninth grade?
I was in high school. Yeah, because you're in high school, like, I think starting 15 for most people. So I was 14 turning 15, I think, around that
year. So you were in like ninth grade.
Correct.
Right? Just getting into it. And you're shooting people's weddings.
Yeah.
I mean, what was that like as a kid with other kids who were like, this weekend I went to the movies. Yay.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I shot this incredible wedding and I was up until 2 a.m. and people were drunk all around me.
Yeah. You know what? I just remember loving it. Like, I really have just always enjoyed it. You know, and I've kind of have always been somebody that just kind of goes with their flow. Like, I was never like, makes me sound like a loner, but I was never somebody that needed to be with like friends or like do what they're doing. Like, I always wanted to do my thing, you know, made me happy.
So when you shot the Chloe and Courtney thing, did your popularity all of a sudden change, or were you super wary of the fact that, you know, your connection to celebrities didn't mean that people really wanted to be your friend?
Well, you know what? The way that I was able to actually do the Kardashian show was my dad had to talk to the principal of my high school to let them know that I had this opportunity to shoot this TV show for Kourtney Kardashian. And the principal had to grant me like early dismissal so I could leave school early. So I wasn't even like, to be honest, Keith, like, I'm telling you, like, no, that's exaggerating. So I spent like every day after school.
Yeah.
Like I would leave and I would go do a photo shoot to practice, whether with models, with friends, like every single day. I'm saying like every day, like no exaggeration. Like that's what I did. Like, cause I just enjoyed it and I wanted to learn. And same thing for like the show. It was like, oh, I have a job today. Like I have to leave at, you know, 1 o'clock because I got to be in Miami to, because today they're going to be in Parrot Jungle. I have to be there. You know, it was like, right. It was just what I had to do. Like, it was just my, it was just in me.
But you know what kills me is that you're talking to your friends and you're like, I gotta go. I'm sorry. Yeah. I can't hang out with you after school because I gotta go to Parrot Jungle and shoot a wedding. And they're like, what? Okay. Child labor laws.
I know, right? Yeah, no. And I don't even think like a lot of people realized, like a lot of my, I think my teachers knew because again, I wasn't there, but right. I don't think a lot of my friends realized the level or appreciated the level of what I was doing. Then I don't even know if I fully even like set in, like, I think I was just so like excited
in the moment. Happy to be out. So like, in the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. I was so in the moment. Like I think it was just, I don't think people realize the level of what it was. When I look back on it now, or I'm sure probably the principal was probably like, oh my God. Like, and well, I'm just and like, you, oh yeah, know, I can leave.
And the thing is that you're only 30. I'm allowed to say this, right? Yeah. Okay. Cause I've already done it. Yep. So you're only 30 and yet you've shot the weddings of Amber Rose, Dwayne and Gabrielle, who we love. They're big South Florida people. We love them. Will Parker and Heather Hazlett's. Of course, I'm reading off a sheet. Kevin Hart, of course, that we talked about. I mean, you started shooting all these celebrity weddings. What was kind of like the biggest learning curve when it came to regular weddings versus celebrity weddings, right? Because when we like, let's say we work at the W, it's easy. We go to the W, we know where the bride is. There's no helicopters running around. There's nobody trying, right? There's nobody trying to get in. So what was the biggest learning curve for you when it came to having to shoot a celebrity wedding?
I would say the biggest learning curve or thing that I had to adjust to, I mean, well, privacy is the most important thing for right. celebrities, like,
right.
period. For don't not share, only the celebrities, but also the planner, you know, right. because it adds
don't
so
share my
much
stuff.
Stress on them with like the NDAs and all these things that you have to sign, you right. know? So I would say there's definitely like the learning curve is just knowing it's kind of like going from doing a wedding on a budget to a luxury wedding. Like there's different things that their expectation, like one's expectation is versus like another's. So I think yeah. it's like the learning curve is more so understanding what their wants
the
are,
mindset
are, understanding their mindset, their expectations, and making yeah. sure that you fulfill that because every celebrity is different. Like my experience with Kevin Hart is he was a creative. So I could talk to him about like, you know, okay, you're gonna, you know, he would say like, oh, I want to do this minion thing. And then I'm like, okay, so I need you to pose like this because then I'm going to put a table here and I'm going to make your son look like he's pumping like a TNT thing or so, you know? So it's like, it's different. Like everybody's different. So it's like understanding how they communicate and being able to communicate with them in that way.
Right. Right. That's it. I mean, and that's the thing is that you have such a natural way of talking to people when you're on site. I mean, you're so understated. Let me put it that way. You're kind of understated when you're on site because you know that you're not the principal, right? That seemed weird because we just talked about your principal. But you know that you want to make the other person the star and you're very For sure. focused on that. You're very focused on the bride and groom, it's their day. I want to make sure I capture them perfectly and that they have the best kind of experience possible. Right?
Yeah. I mean,
was that something learned or was that more intuitive?
I would say more intuitive. And yeah. my dad has had a huge influence on me as well. My dad, as you know, Keith, is a people person.
He's awesome.
Which is ironic because photography helped me kind of break out of my shell because I was always more of a shy person. So So really? Becoming a photographer, I had to like learn how to be a people person.
And your dad's such an extrovert.
And my dad is such a people person. He's such an extrovert. To learn from than my dad, right?
He's never met a stranger. Let's just put it that way. No, 100%. He's never met a stranger. I mean, your dad's the best. I love your dad.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, it's been amazing. And also the fact too is like, just as like a side note, but when we're also like thinking a lot now about like the future of what photography and video is going to be, you know, we started doing video in 2013 and now we're actually finding that more people are hiring us for video than photography because there's more of a pressure now on video and people wanting it captured.
There was that big thing on Instagram where people were like, oh, let Instagram be Instagram, you know, get away from the video kind of thing. So you could see where that like short term. How has that changed for like, let's say TikTok, you know, do you feel that there's more pressure now in order to create these like TikTok Instafame things versus actually capturing the wedding?
Yeah, I mean, well, a lot of our clients now, like they actually, when I'm working with them and understanding like, okay, the day after your wedding, what content do you want? What pictures or videos do you want for posting? That's all they're thinking about. I want a 10-second clip of my first dance. I want a 5-second clip of when I, you know, see my daughter for the first time. Like those are the moments that they're asking for. So things have changed dramatically with social media. And Instagram, I would say at first, I felt the same way that a lot of people felt, like keep Instagram, keep it photo based because everything's now going to video. Mm-hmm. But now that I really have sat and like thought about it, it makes the most sense because people are watching videos. People don't care as much about pictures anymore. And I think it hasn't,
which is sad.
The wedding industry, I love but photos.
It's gonna change.
A lot of photographers will go out of business if they don't learn how to do video.
Well, and again, I think that there's something to be said about your youth and being able to adjust with the times, so to speak, where other people have kind of been set in their ways and are like, no, photos, I only do photography. I mean, it's really important to adjust with what the world is actually wanting, what your brides are actually wanting. And that's
absolutely,
and that's going to be hard. So do you find that, you know, clients are more worried about like giving you direction than in the past? And the reason I even brought this up is because I had a fabulous wedding this last weekend, and unfortunately you weren't part of it, but it was a fabulous wedding. And the bridal party was next level. they were next level. Oh my goodness. But they were giving very specific instructions to the video team. I mean, very specific. Like, I want you to like close in on me. I'm going to say these three words and then I want you to go back. I was like,
really? Wow, that is next level.
I know. They were pretty hardcore and I had to actually bring them back. I was like, all right, everybody relax. They're the professionals that, you know, let them do what they love. Let them do what. And I said, and I promise you, you're going to love it. So I had to like bring them in, rein them in a little bit. Do you find that you're getting a little bit more of that? Or do people tend to trust you?
I would say 90% of the time you get the majority of clients that hire you because they see your work. Again, that's what helps, like with me posting a lot of my behind the scenes videos of me working at events on my social media, people see how I work. So they automatically know that's what I want, or, you know, like that's my style. Like I want somebody that's going to pose me, and I like how she talks to her clients. Like I want somebody to talk to me that way. So I think like in that sense, like we don't get people that are too hands-on because again, we're also artists. So it's like, if somebody's going to hire us and then tell us how to do our job per se, then it's like, well, like we're not giving you what you hired us for. So I'm all for the bride. So I do whatever she wants, you know, or whoever it is. Like I always do whatever the client wants.
Right.
But if, you know, because my dad always taught me it's their day, their way. So, like whatever they want, I want to do it my way, you know, in terms of cinematically. But if you want me to do it differently, then, you know.
So, but I'll you do both, it. You know, you do, you're like me. I mean, I do both corporate and social. So my corporate clients are very different than my social clients.
Yeah.
very different. Very different. And so, you know, how did you get into the corporate environment? I mean, because you were already doing so much social, let's say, because again, we're going to go back to the Chloe thing. So you're already doing a lot of social. How did the corporate piece come into your world?
Well, corporate, we really started doing a lot of corporate stuff after we started doing a lot of video work. Video is actually where things had started for us from a corporate perspective. And then everything just kind of came full circle with us offering video for video for the social side of things as well. Because Bobby, who's been working with us for a long time, one of our lead, you know, video editors, and he also does obviously a lot of shooting and directing and stuff for us as well. We've been working with him forever. And so he comes from that production background experience. So that opened up in our business, just like a whole array of opportunities, you know? Yeah. And again, once you're in a clique, people like working with the same people. So, you know, once one person works with you, you know, they also, a lot of our clients, they have businesses. A lot of them have their own businesses. So then our clients will hire us to do their, you know, work for their business. And before you know it, you know, I had one client that actually asked me to exchange an engagement session for a video, a commercial for their business.
You're like, two totally different things.
I know. I'm like, different things, but let me see. I worked with her on it because she really needed something.
Right.
But I'm just saying, like, that's where a lot of our, that's where a lot of corporate stuff we get too. I mean, we get all kinds.
Well, and it's a little hard because, you know, and I, because we're in the same business together, and so I can relate in many ways, is that we become really friendly with our couples, with our clients. You know, we're still friends with lots of our past couples that then say, hey, by the way, I have this event that for my company, and it's a Christmas event or a holiday event. Can you put it together for us? And I have to be very careful to not give too much. Yeah. Right. I have to have a structure. I have to have pricing. I have to be like, okay, this is my cost. Yes, I know that we're friends and that, you know, your daughter's wedding or did your son's wedding, but that's always a difficult piece for me because I am so like want to make people happy because that's my world is weddings. Do you find yourself also having to do that or does it make it easier to have it like a separate department that handles that?
I would say, well, I guess from that perspective, that's the good thing about my dad. You know, my dad and I, we work so much together. So he's like my buffer. So a lot of the times too, like if we're talking to like a quote unquote new client, it does kind of feel a little bit like a department because I can talk both social and corporate. My dad really is more of like talks more social. So if there is like a corporate job or opportunity that we need to discuss, he usually will send me the contact and I'll call them directly because I'll be able to have that conversation with them. So in a sense, it's kind of like the best of both, but it's like not split between me. It's like my dad and I.
Nice. And then so let's get back into the wedding side. So what are some of the top questions that you wish your clients would either answer or have answers for before booking a photographer?
Before booking, I mean, the first obvious one would be really understanding their budget and what they want to spend.
Yeah, I mean, I always say the B word is not a bad word. It's not a bad word.
No, they need to know what they want to spend.
Right.
And then two, I would say is understanding video. Again, a lot of our clients do come to us for photography or video. Right. Some people don't know that we do both, even though we promote it all the time. But I would say like understanding that video has to start taking more prominence in an event. And the good thing just for us is why we like when people hire us for both services is because our team has been working together for 10 years. So it's like, we're just in synergy. Like there's no, you know, meeting another videographer for me as a photographer, being a videographer for the first time at the wedding. And then they have a different setup or way that's going to maybe intrude.
Or they get in front of the camera when you're trying to shoot the wedding.
Yeah. You know, and then they'll just tell me, oh, just my camera's in the way. Just Photoshop it out. And I'm like,
don't you love that? Oh, that's my favorite.
Out of thousands of pictures, are you kidding? So I think video is the second really big thing.
Right.
That couples need to think about. And whenever possible, try and, you know, find, just like how, like when I'm assuming when you're planning a wedding, Keith, and you would, I guess you would be a good person to answer this, but like, I'm assuming some brides would maybe, it's maybe better for them to kind of find a vendor that can do multiple things rather than have like tons of little vendors. I don't know if that would apply, but from a photo video side, it's like having one vendor is way better. So it's not overlapping. We're not in each other's shots.
And I agree with that because I've actually had multiple conversations with couples and I said, look, you know, I know it feels like kind of a one-stop shop and that you feel like you're not getting the best of both worlds, but your teams need to be able to work together. They have to be able to work together. And if you have some random video person that you just hired because he's just out of college and he wants to build his portfolio, he's not going to work well with a seasoned wedding photographer because he's still learning. Yeah. And as much as I would want to give those breaks to people, this is a big deal. I don't want you to waste your money. And I don't want you to waste your money, you know, because at the end of the day, if you don't like the product that you're getting, either photography or videography, yourself. Why do that to yourself? How important is a timeline and for you? Because, you know, we've heard the horror stories. And I've actually only had one wedding go more than 30 minutes late because I'm pretty hardcore.
Well, you're like a pro.
I mean, I'm hardcore about being on time. I mean, I am. I'm pretty hardcore about being on time. But, you know, but how important is it for couples to understand that timelines are everything?
Oh, I mean, they're everything. And I wish more couples to, I mean, I do wish that there was more collaboration with a lot of like the planners where I could meet with the couple and the planner at the same time to like discuss the timeline. I know a lot of planners, I mean, it depends on the wedding too. But I do think that the timeline's really important. And I think it's even more important as you do more luxury or high profile events
and
that
you,
the meetings have to be done in person because things get lost in translation. And when we're, at the end of the day, when your wedding is over, the cake's gone, you know, you ate that, flowers are dead, you know, you have your dress, but it goes in a box. All you have are the pictures and the video.
Right.
You know? So it's like people need to plan their day for that.
Well, you know, I've always been a big fan of direct communication. I mean, I don't get in the way between you and the couple. I'm like, no, I'm not a photographer. Why would I be involved in this? I'm here for logistics. I'm here to make sure that your day goes smooth.
Yeah.
I'm not taking photos. Oh my God, forget that. Yeah. You know, and that's the same thing with the florist. I'm a big fan of direct communication. There is no reason that it would reduce my significance in the process to have people talk directly to each other. And it always drives me crazy when I hear other wedding planners are like, no, I don't let my bride talk to anybody. I'm like, why wouldn't you? I'm like, what? Oh, what is wrong with you? Oh my God. Get off your high horse. Get
That's
rid of
a
your
thing,
ego.
Keith. That's a thing. I've had planners that are like, I know the bride just booked you, but do not call her. Do
what? I mean, I'm like,
yes.
Why?
Oh yeah.
I mean, how are like, you supposed to do your job?
They would have the client sign the contract, but not put their phone number or email on it just so I can't reach out to them. I'm like,
God, you know, that's the thing is that if you've been in this business long enough,
you see all kinds of things
you do. And you learn to let, you know, that your ego is not important. You know, who you are, honestly, at the end of the day is not important. How well the wedding rolls and how on time you stay. That's the important piece. I don't care about, you know, Keith Miller events. I'm more worried about, you know, how did this wedding roll and are the people happy? Do they feel comfortable? Did they have a good time? Did their guests feel like they weren't cattle? I mean, that's my big thing. I don't like people feeling like they're cattle.
Interesting expression. I haven't heard that, but that makes so much sense.
Right? Because once you're done with like cocktail reception, many times they're like herd you into the dinner or they herd you from the ceremony to the cocktail reception. I'm like, oh, just give a few minutes, open a bar. People will absolutely walk towards the bar. Just give them an extra 5 minutes. Do not herd them. Ugh, drives me crazy.
I really like that expression. I'm going to use that because I see that all the time. And I think when you put it in that way, like you just have this visual picture and it's like, oh my gosh, that does happen to like every wedding.
Every wedding. And so I'm like, look, if you just give them an extra 5 minutes, we're really not talking about an extended amount of time. It's not going to make you late. but it will make people feel more comfortable. So you open up some place that people want to go to, you allow them to get there. You're going to have some stragglers. That's okay. Let them be stragglers, but don't get in the way of people's joy. You know, and that's my big thing. I'm not here I will say Sunday I did have to tell people in the lobby because we were running a little behind. It's like, okay, guys, we're about to do the intros. And then as soon as I said that, people went. I didn't have to say, get to your seats. Explain to them what's happening, and then they're going to be okay. You know, so what's next? You're 30, right? You got this incredibly successful business. Is there pressure or stress on you at this point? Because you really do have you've had incredible successes from 13 to 30 that most people don't get in their whole life. Do you feel like there's an additional pressure now? Like, you know, okay, what's next? What's next?
For sure. I mean, for me, what's next is really going to be focusing a lot of my energy now into social media and focused on becoming an influencer, as cliche as that may sound, because everybody wants to be an influencer.
What does that mean? So I just got an email from Instagram because I hit 25,000 followers, which is nothing compared to the people that I'm around. I know. And they're like, hey, do you want to monetize your, and I'm like, what? I have no idea what you're talking about.
You don't monetize, Keith?
No. Oh my goodness. I'm like, wow. I'm too busy.
What? No, Keith, you have to. No, but you just turn on monetization and it does it for you.
I did, but
they'll send you a check.
I don't really understand it. So anyway, okay, but that's what I'm saying.
Talk offline about it, because there's definitely some, especially with this, with what you're doing. I mean, you can definitely monetize these.
Oh, you know, and the thing is that we started this because of COVID, and I've never thought of it as anything else than what it actually is. And, you know, being able to talk to interesting people like you, and then to help people that are couples make good decisions in their weddings. I mean, that is the most important piece for me. And I think, and for you as well, it's like, once you talk to a client, once they're signed, you almost feel like you're you know, I don't want anybody giving them the wrong direction, information. I want to make sure that they're protected. So that's really my focus. And I'm assuming the same with you, because your dad is very protective.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. So,
but how is it like to try to grow your commercial business, meaning your corporate business and your social business at the same time? That's got to be.
I mean, we have a big team.
Yeah,
we have a team. We roll deep, Keith.
Let's talk about your team. Yeah, let's talk about your team. So, you know, when they book with Suzanne Delaware, right? And am I saying the last name right? I always feel like I'm saying it wrong. Is it Delaware?
Yeah.
Delaware. Thank you. Yeah. You know, when somebody books you guys, I mean, what are we talking about team wise? You know, because obviously the face of the company. Winston is obviously your second in command, so to speak. I'm sure he's going to give me a little poop about that. But
he will, but in a very friendly, fun way.
In a very friendly, fun way. You know, what are we talking about? They're just, you know, it's not just you shooting a camera. Obviously, there are people in the background that are doing edits and all of the other stuff. So talk about a little bit about your team.
Yeah, well, we have, can I just add, Keith, that's one thing that separates us from a lot of other companies, and why, you know, people that come to us are paying more of a premium price for our services. It's because a lot of photography and video companies outsource or hire contractors to shoot a lot of their events, versus people that are shooting our events or are editing, you know, their pictures or videos.
Right.
Everybody's in-house. Like, everybody works for us, you know? Of course, all of us have our own little side jobs, so I'm not talking about that. I'm saying, you're not going to see my people from my team working with, 10 other photographers, you know? It's,
amazing.
You know, that's really important, because it's also branding, and that's how you keep your style in a certain look. That's how you give the couple consistent work every single event. So in terms of, our team, I mean, we have... Typically, when we're at a wedding, I mean, if I can do it my way.
Yeah. Yes.
Then, you know, it's, then it's, you know, two photographers, of course. I like to have three videographers, but more so because I like the third videographer to do more of like drone or jib stuff. Like it's more for like ultra creative content. It's not to necessarily shoot like the bride's getting ready or the ceremony. It's like meant B-roll. To get like dramatic drama, like epic stuff.
So B-rolls type of stuff. Filler so that way it can be next
level. Absolutely. Yeah. And then I'm all about having like assistants. Like, you know, wedding days are busy. Like I can't be focused on carrying my light around when I'm, you know, trying to post formal. So I always have like a lighting assistant with me. Sometimes one or two. Now with social media, I'm bringing somebody to film behind the scenes of the event so we can take those clips and post it on social media or give it to the vendors. So, I mean, we can go to a wedding easily with 6-8 people. Like, you know, if somebody like it's
and then we can talk about vendor meals. If we get into vendor meals, then it's a whole nother conversation.
Exactly. Yeah. So it depends. Like if people let me do it my way, I'm comfortable with 6. But that's for like no stress. Everybody's like, you know, has their roles and we're efficient and we get epic shots.
You know? And that's the thing is that, you know, what I tell people all the time, it's that, you know, you can have a very simple visual wedding, but if you have the right photographer, it's going to look dramatic, know, save yourself on some of these costs. So that way you can put the costs where it really belongs. And having the right people to capture your wedding is number one. Do not cheap out on that. Absolutely. Do not cheap out on that. There are other things you can cheap out on, but video and photography is not one of them.
What would you say, Keith? I know you're asking me all the questions, but what would you say is something as a
planner? Oh, see, not fair. No, it's my show.
Tell us, Keith. Tell us.
Okay.
What would couples cheap out on? Like, what's something that's like, okay, if you're going to not have it, what would it be?
Favors. I hate favors. I hate favors. I think favors are the biggest waste of money. And God bless the people out there that sell favors. But I think favors are the biggest waste of money. I mean, the cookie on the table, really? Do I need a shot glass with your name on it? No. Do I want a champagne glass emblazoned with the date? No. Right? So many times this gets left behind. People leave it. You know, it's like, nah. You know, favors are a big waste of money.
And I then say, you end up with 50 shot glasses.
I do. I mean, oh my God. If I could sell shot glasses to, you know, like second generation shot glasses. Oh my God. But you know, the thing is that if it doesn't add to the memory or capture the memory, I say no. Right? So, and many times where a couple may say, oh, I want really dramatic flowers everywhere. And I go, so visually, what am I looking at? I'm looking at the two of you at the front. So do I really care what's at the beginning, right? The 2 seconds that people turn around? No. If you're going to save money, focus your money where people are going to see it and things that are going to be captured.
Totally.
Right?
Where people are looking.
Where people are looking. And I think that like the hand stitched linen, you're going to cover it with plates and glassware and other stuff. Do you really care? It's a hand stitched linen. Not really. You know, so I'm big on bands. I love a DJ live. So if you can't afford a big band, do a DJ live, you know, DJ with 2 live instruments. It'll save you a lot of money, but give you all the funds and stuff. Don't skimp on lighting. Uplighting is everything, as long as you know when to turn it off for photos, because it's very easy to turn everything purple. It's crazy. I mean, how many times have you been to a wedding where they had all this uplighting and you're like, how do I capture these centerpieces when all I see is purple?
Yeah. Right. Especially well, now usually that's another thing is like, I bring a lighting kit now to weddings. So I'll spotlight stuff for my picture.
Cause you have to, right? Yeah, because you have all this other technology.
Like an orange or purple or whatever color it is. It's just going to be like flat, no dimension or separation.
Well, and that's when and that's why I'm always like big on making sure that people are hiring people that know what they're doing in the wedding industry. You have to work as a team. Everybody has to get their ego out of it. I've said that probably 18 times during the show. Take your ego out of it, because it really is about a group effort, making sure that we produce a once in a lifetime event that can be captured beautifully. And there is a real art to the conversation that comes between your videographer, your photographer, your DJ, your uplighting, your wedding planner. I mean, all those things have to work in symbiotic. They have to work together. Absolutely. Or it's not going to work. It's not going to work. You know, you can have the best photographer in the world, but if you have a shitty DJ, great, right? Your photos will be dancing. Nobody will be dancing. Your photos will be amazing, but everybody's memory of the event will be tarnished.
Totally.
There's a balance. There's a real balance. Oh my goodness. All right. You're killing me here. All right. We're done. You started turning the table. See how quickly that ends?
Oh yeah. I have my ways, Keith.
I love it. So if people wanted to find you, get a hold of you, look you up, what are your social media pieces? I mean, we've been running it every once in a while on our ticker tape below. So
look at you go.
Right? So we have your Instagram at Suzanne Delaware Studios and your website. You know, are there like, you know, your Facebook? Do you keep up Facebook? Do you have TikTok? You know, tell us the other pieces.
Yeah, I mean, you can follow me on TikTok at Suzanne Delaware. It's the same for my Instagram as well, my personal Instagram, where I post a lot of behind the scenes videos of me shooting events, which is a great way that you can see how we pose you on your wedding day and how we are able to create some of these fabulous pictures and video moments that you see on our website.
Well, and by the way, I did notice you had two Instagram accounts. You had, you know, the studio account, but then personal account. So follow both. There you go. Suzanne, thank you so much. You know how much I already love you, and I just made me love you more.
Oh, thank you, Keith. Well, thank you for having me. This has been a blast.
Yay. And
I'm looking forward to doing your headshots coming up. So we gotta set a date.
If I have time. Maybe April, maybe May. Anyway. Thank you so much. And by the way, if you're watching us, you'll be able to catch us on the podcast on iHeartRadio or any place that you have your podcast where you listen to your podcast. And we will be back next Tuesday at 2:00. But for now, we're going to say goodbye.